Topic 14, Sabbath Time. How often have you heard it said that I'm working so hard I can't keep up with all of the demands that are out there on me? Demands from family, friends, personal demands, health concerns, relationship problems, and on and on. The amount of work that we do, I talked about in an earlier presentation on workaholism. It's very clear that our society and the people that we care for and the places where we work demand so much of us that it may be very difficult to appreciate Sabbath time, the role of Sabbath. In an article written in a journal called The Priest, Michael Wensing wrote an article entitled Sabbath, A Gift Day of Rest to be Made Holy. And he writes, God has bequeathed us a beautiful gift in the tradition of the Sabbath day, observance of rest. Jesus' riveting pronouncement in Mark's Gospel regarding the Sabbath tradition of his Jewish heritage gives us a paradigm for the interpretation of the tradition in the new context of the new covenant. The Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. And so, as this Sabbath was made for us, how is it that we are not able to take time to really enjoy this precious gift that God has given to us and that God models for us? Sometimes demands get in the way, not simply for our own personal gratification or work fulfillment, but because we feel that we are obligated to fulfill demands and that taking time for Sabbath is a selfish exercise. I know, for example, whenever I go home to visit my mother, she'll have me visit neighbors in the neighborhood who are having a problem or going through a particular period of trial. And when I say to her, Mom, I'm tired. I would simply like to be here to rest with you. She will throw at me, but you're a priest. You're supposed to go and visit these people. I think I need to do some education with my own mother around the value of Sabbath, and that it's not selfish to lay down even important ethical responsibilities from time to time so that we can rest and enjoy the Sabbath which is made for us. So many times we put demands on ourselves that get in the way of enjoying the Sabbath. Micromanaging, for example, trying to prove my own importance or my own self-worth many times over by getting into details that would just as easily be handled by other people, associates, people that work with us or for us. But instead, my own style of micromanaging can get in the way. There's something addictive about my need to be there for everything and everyone all the time, in the middle of everything, as though something terrible would happen, something catastrophic, if I were to allow myself to take a moment off. I remember on one occasion I was giving a talk to a group of priests, and one of them in the discussion period that ensued admitted that when he goes away for his day off, which is usually a Monday, the Sabbath day, of course, is not a day of rest for priests, but on Monday he would try to get away to play golf. And he'd leave his house early in the morning before the sun rose, not turning the headlights on in the car, backing out as softly as he possibly could so that he could slip away before anyone saw him and noticed that he was going away. This kind of sneaking away, trying stealthily to get time for myself, to enjoy Sabbath really calls our attention to the need to focus on what Father Wensing is articulating in this article on the gift day of Sabbath. This Hebrew tradition of Sabbath as an obligatory day of rest is all through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It is indeed a day made for man. As we read again in the Gospel, Mark 2, verse 27, or in Psalm 118, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Essentially, first and foremost, the Sabbath is a ceasing and desisting from the normal labors of the week's work. I live in New York City, and I observe that every Friday afternoon, the Jewish community is in a hurry to close up shop and to get out of the business district to go to their homes so that they can celebrate the Sabbath with their families and friends. And I admire this tradition and this discipline so much. I think we in the Catholic and the Christian tradition have lost this discipline, and we would do well to bring it back. In the Christian development of Sabbath, the redemptive nature of the day was accented, observed on the first day of the week to celebrate Christ's resurrection. And yet, early Christians associated this day with celebrating the redemption with the ancient understanding of Sabbath as a day of rest. We came to associate celebration and rest all in the context of resurrection joy and celebrating that new life, that new creation that was effected by the resurrection of the Lord in the new covenant. In more contemporary Christian practice, our Sabbath has been reduced to 1 hour of attending Mass on Sunday or Saturday evening, the weekly Sunday obligation. I remember growing up, we had all of Sunday together, time for Mass, time for dinner, time for relaxation and recreating as a family together. But reducing the Sabbath to 1 hour is more consistent with contemporary constant demand, the mentality of our culture that eats on the run. This is an Italian sacrilege, but it is, I'm sad to say, something that I observe even among my brother's children and certainly among their children, that there's no time taken at the table. There's no discipline that says you may have sports activities or extracurricular activities or other events that are important in your life, but the primary importance is to gather around the table for a time of family togetherness and cohesion. That is an essential problem in our culture today, and it goes against the practice of Sabbath. For priests ourselves, where everyone has a Sabbath day, even an hour, the same mentality can be transferred to our day off. Well, I'll just take a day off once a month. There are many priests with whom I have worked for whom this is a particular problem, not taking the time. And what happens, of course, when we don't take Sabbath time is that resentment builds. So we end up being very self-sacrificial, doing all kinds of good things, but with a steady and ever-growing stream of resentment and anger. So God knew what he was doing by creating Sabbath. And Scripture and tradition emphasizes the need and the mandate for Sabbath time. So what stands in our way? And more importantly, how do I build regular Sabbath time into my life? I would suggest that goal setting and time management are two important areas for our focus. There are symptoms of ineffective time management, and these include constant rushing, frequent lateness, impatience, or procrastination. Sometimes people have a hard time getting things done on time and are constantly putting things off, procrastinating. Now, there are those of us by personality style who are more or less affected by procrastination. If you're like me, I'm a person who is compulsively on time and timely about tasks and projects for completion. So if I'm working with someone who is a procrastinator, that can be really disturbing for me, and it will really undermine my peace of mind. And yet, people who procrastinate themselves sometimes are frustrated with their own ineffective time management strategy, but don't seem to know how to do things differently. It's something that they have become habituated to. Something is missing here when we mismanage time. The structuring of time and energy on what is most important is something to pay close attention to. We need perhaps to use a triage system with respect to all of the various demands on our time, trying to get the most important things prioritized and to let the less important things wait until we have the time that we can give to them our full time, not time where we're running on empty or virtually on empty. Consider the 80-20 principle that Vilfredo Pareto, an Italian economist, articulated. He noted that 20% of what we do yields 80% of outcome results, and conversely, 80% of what we do yields only 20% of results. So this suggests that we really have a problem with time management. And of course, if that's the case, and I think most of us will intuitively agree that it is, no wonder we have a difficulty with taking time for Sabbath. So how do we engage a process of effective time management? First of all, I would suggest the need to clarify your values. What is most important to you? Ignatius, in the Spiritual Exercises, suggests placing ourselves in imagination on our deathbed. And from the vantage point of hopefully many years from now, on the deathbed, looking back on your life and asking yourself, what did you most enjoy experiencing and doing while you were living? What did you most appreciate accomplishing? This exercise will give you an opportunity to see perhaps more clearly how to organize your time so that you can dedicate it to what is truly valuable and to let go of those things that are perhaps more time-occupying but less and less valuable. Order your values from the list from that exercise and rank them in the order of importance. And then try to set specific goals based on these general values. Now, to design effective goals, ask yourself these questions. Is this goal consistent with my highest values? Remember in the talk that I presented on workaholism, we noted that workaholic behavior is not job commitment. That is to say, when I engage in addictive or compulsive work behavior, which is essentially ineffective time management in the area of work, it's not because I'm necessarily committed on an affective basis to the work that I'm doing. It's not that the work is an expression of my deepest values and beliefs. It's that I'm not able simply to prioritize my day and time so that I do the things that are most meaningful to me. Is it a goal that I really want to devote a lot of time and attention to accomplish? Is the goal achievable? You know, is it so often, I know from the psychological context, we would talk about psychotherapy and implementing psychotherapy for a particular patient with particular diagnoses and might have a very neat, comprehensive formulation about the kind of therapy, but then would have to ask the very practical question, but is that goal achievable? So we might have a very complex and neat and theoretically coherent plan for approaching a particular problem at work or at home, but if the goal is not achievable, then we end up spinning our wheels and wasting a lot of valuable time on something that is really not able to be realized. Is the goal positive? And especially important, when we're considering time for Sabbath, are my goals in balance? And here is a word that is especially important for us to consider, balance. Do most of my goals involve work, and almost none of them have to do with health, relationships, or fun? This is the balance, or lack of balance, which is a major source of stress in our lives. We need to balance short-term and long-term goals, not over-sacrificing short-term goals, as is the case, for example, when we get to work obsessively, compulsively. Nor, on the other hand, do we need to over-gratify short-term goals, as is the case with addictions, for example, short-term gratification with long-term negative consequences. So balancing short-term and long-term goals is a very important process and technique for being able to make space for a profitable experience of Sabbath in our lives. How do we proceed by organizing our time? First, I would suggest buy an organizer, whether it's a paper and pencil kind of tool that I use, or it's some more complex virtual web-based tech instrument that you carry, whatever it is. Try to use the organizer so that you can write in, or however you're going to enter that data, and use it so that you can see what are the activities, events, and how are they consistent with your goals, so that you can exercise some control over your time. Put activities that reflect your goals and values into that organizer or into that calendar. You know, I find that if I don't include in my calendar events like cultural activities, spending time with friends, social activities, Sabbath time, then these things can tend to be the first to go, because the visible outcomes, the immediate outcomes, are not so obvious to us as when we accomplish a particular task and we have something tangible to show for it. Learn to say no. Here, it might be necessary to take a course in assertiveness or practice assertiveness. Talk to a friend who may be more equipped to say no and learn how to do that. Take mini Sabbaths each day. And by that, I mean taking time to exercise, stretch, using the examine that we talked about in the talk on prayer to just notice God laboring in your life, in your world. Taking some time to practice perhaps one of those breathing techniques, again, that I discussed in the talk on prayer. taking time for normal breathing or for qi, palm and soul breathing, whatever it might be. Time for meditation, contemplation, lectio, meditatio. These are the mini Sabbaths. Arrange your environment to support your values and goals. Don't take Sabbath time in your office. It's important for you to go to a separate place. Just as we talked about having time for sacred reading, a space for that, a space for prayer, have a space for Sabbath time, a time away. And very importantly, reward yourself for taking Sabbath time. Often when people, especially people who are very committed to getting a lot of things done, accomplished, take a little time for Sabbath, they, when they return from Sabbath time, load themselves up with extra work on the return day and try to get it all done as if a week or 3 days or even a day of Sabbath could be made up in just one session that I commit myself to completing at the computer, answering 150 or more emails or whatever the particular circumstance might be. This ends up becoming punishment for taking the Sabbath time away. And any good psychologist will note that when we punish a behavior, we're less likely to do it in the future. So instead, reward the Sabbath behavior by taking a little time when we get back for a mini Sabbath, or some other kind of reward for having exercised this kind of mandate given by God to take Sabbath. To take it as a time of renewal for ourselves. To be happy and successful as men and women, we need a proactive stance. You know, no one's going to tap you on the shoulder and insist that you take Sabbath time. I could offer you these strategies. I hope they are useful to you, but it's really on your own shoulders. Each of us takes responsibility for making this happen. You might experience anxiety about the Sabbath. What will I do if I take that time? How will I spend it? I'm not used to organizing non-work time. Well, I would answer, follow the ancient Hebrew and early Christian directive about this. Cease and desist. Rest. Develop comfort in being alone with yourself in God. Cardinal Bernardine once was talking about this kind of balance between in community involvement and solitary life. And again, how we need to have both, but in balance. Pay attention to your body and your soul. Take a little extra time during the Sabbath for exercise, for prayer, for nutrition. And when you eat, eat in a mindful way during that time, not in the fast food way, but in a way that allows your senses to engage the meal and to cultivate gratitude for each bite, each drink. Spend time with friends during Sabbath time, or perhaps engage in that journal keeping that we talked about. Perhaps you can do some spiritual reading that we discussed in the last talk during Sabbath time. Or having fun, just allowing yourself to play, which is one of the core needs that we all have as human beings. Celebrate our redemption. This is, of course, the essential religious meaning of Sabbath for us as Christians. This is a day to celebrate the resurrection. Above all, try to resist the more contemporary church practice of reducing Sabbath to only 1 hour. Take the day. Remember, as we heard in Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.